Number 226 will be our song of invitation. Since this is Father's Day, I'm going to talk a little tonight about a father's chastisement. Our text is going to be taken from Hebrews 12th chapter and verse 5 beginning. If you have your Bible, you want to turn and read along with us. Hebrews 12th chapter beginning with verse 5. We're reading from the King James Version. The writer says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." This is a passage of Scripture that people have a lot of different views on. We're going to try to touch on one or two of the different views tonight, and let us make up our own minds about what he's saying. But do you ever realize that this is a quotation from the Old Testament? Actually, it's a quotation from the book of Proverbs on the writing of Solomon, King Solomon. In Proverbs 3:11 and 12, it says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." He's talking about chastening and chastisement here. And sometimes I guess we don't realize exactly what that is, what it means. But it comes from the Greek word paideia. And it's the same word that we get the word pediatrician from. A pediatrician is a doctor that doctors with doctor's children, and it has to do with children, and it means education or training, and it extends into disciplinary correction, chastening or chastisement or instruction or nurture. That's Jung's definition of it. And what the writer is doing here, he is comparing our role with God as a human father's role with his child. So God is comparing his role to that of a loving father. And I think that's interesting, because we knew what a father is. And he talks about, we know that we've had fathers of our flesh that corrected us and so forth. We know what a father is. Some fathers are better at it than others, but most of us can relate when he talks about a father and the father chastening and correcting us as children. In Ephesians chapter 6, you know, Paul said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It carries with it the idea of training, and then it carries with it the idea of rebuking and correcting verbally, and then when it's necessary, it carries with it the idea of what they call a little bit of corporal punishment, a little not sparing the rod, as the Bible talks about. So God is comparing His role to that of a loving human father. And I think there's no other or no greater honor that could be bestowed upon fatherhood than for God to take the father that we already knew something about and compare His role to that. In 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, you know, Paul said to come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, God says, and I'll be a father unto you. You know what a father is? Well, I'll be one of those unto you if you'll separate yourself from the world and come to me. I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And so God has to chasten His children. Now, there's no point in fussing or rebuking a person if they don't know what they should have done to start with. I'm persuaded that many children are punished, made grounded or set in the corner or whatever because they don't know what they did wrong. They did something their parents expect them to know they shouldn't do, but they don't know what it is. And that's not right. Children need to be made known. So that's the first thing that God does. He makes it known to us what He wants us to do. Like the Bible says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. I believe that's in the book of Hosea. God tells us what He wants us to do. And His Word, the Bible that we have, that's our guidebook telling us what God wants to do. So God's not going to be unreasonable with us. He's not going to punish us for something that we didn't know about because He hadn't made it known to us. In Deuteronomy 8, verses 5 and 6, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and fear Him." You know, sometimes kids know what to do, but they don't do it. And they know what they ought not to do, but they do it anyway. And that's when a little chastisement has to come into play. And that's the way it is with God and His children. In Psalm 94, verse 12, "Blessed is the man whom Thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of Thy law, that Thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked." So He pronounces a blessedness upon the person that is receiving chastisement from God. Hebrew writer said that it's not pleasant when it comes. It's a little unpleasant for the moment, but it yields some peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, Hebrews 12 and 11. In Psalm 118 and 18, the psalmist said, "The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord." It's interesting that after the Lord had chastened him sore, he's still praising the Lord. And I know that we've had parents that chastened us sore literally sometimes. And we sometimes didn't appreciate it as kids, but I think when we got older, that we appreciated it more. So human fathers have to chasten their children. Have to teach them and train them. You know, God said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it." You've got to show him the right way first, or her the right way. But in Proverbs 13 and 24, Solomon said, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And I know all of us as kids, we had to kind of push the limit and see how far we could go. Mama told us not to play in the street. We got right out on the side of the street, you know, right next to the pavement. We'd play a while. We'd look back over our shoulders, see if we were getting by with it. And if we got by with that, then we'd get over a foot or so on the edge of the street, and we'd play there a little while. We'd look back over our shoulders, see if we're going to get by with that. That's how kids are, I guess. Maybe they're not all that way, but I know I was that way. And sometimes God's children are that way, too. We want to see how close to the line we can get and get by with. You know, that's not a good attitude. But sometimes that calls for the chastening of the Lord. In Proverbs 19:18, Solomon said again, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." You know, I remember one time that I must not have been over about 3 years old, but I remember it. And kids, let me tell you, don't wear overalls. They're dangerous. They provide a very unique handle that you don't want your father to use. And that's where those galluses cross right there on the back. I mean, when he gets you there, you can't get away. And one time I was playing on my little tricycle, and I really got the hang of it, and I was going good. It must have been about 3 years old. And I'd come running up to people, and I'd backpedal, you know. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it wouldn't. Sometimes I'd hit them. And I kept on, and I hit Mama's ankle with that old axle that came out of that tricycle and made a little place on it. It was bleeding a little. And Daddy saw me. He reached down, and he got a hold right where those galluses crossed behind, and he picked me up off of that tricycle, and he took his belt to my bottom. And I started crying. Oh, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to. I couldn't stop. And I remember to this day what he said. Boy, I was on fire back there. And he said, "You'll do better the next time." You know what happened? I found out you could stop if you tried hard enough. And sometimes we're that way, you know. We have to push it to the limit. So fathers has that problem and has that chore to chasten children. God has the same problem, the same work cut out for him. In Proverbs 22:15, Solomon said, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from it." But the fourth point we want to look at is that whether it be an earthly father or whether it be our heavenly father, chastisement comes out of love. We may not realize that at the time, but it won't take us long to learn it. And I think that's the reason that the psalmist was still praising God after he had been chastened sore. Because he realized that it came out of love, and he realized it was for his own good. In Revelation 3:19, God had just really given the church at Laodicea a good wrap up one side and down the other for their lukewarmness. And he had told them, you know, that he was fixing to come and remove their candlestick. And he was going to spew them out of his mouth and all that. And then he wound it up in verse 19 by saying, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And so the Hebrew writer said in chapter 12, if we don't endure chastisement, then we must not be real children. We might be illegitimate, because if a father cares about us, he's going to chasten us. And because God cares about us, he corrects us. But then we get to that big question that there's a lot of argument and disputation about, and that is, how does the Lord chasten us? Now, some people hold to the idea that the only way the Lord is ever going to chasten us this side of the judgment is our reading His Word and our conscience bothering Him as we read the Word. Now, I know that can be an effective way of chastisement if we'll just read the Word. Because whenever we do something wrong or we're not living as the Lord would have us to, and We turn over to the book of John, about John 14, and we read where Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's going to hurt, isn't it, if we're not keeping his commandments? It's going to hurt, isn't it? And well, you know, I might not love the Lord. After all he did for me, I'm not showing him any love. And that's going to hurt. And the other passages of Scripture that's going to really hurt if we read them. But then there are other people that think that God even goes further and chastens us, maybe by sickness or by misfortune or a calamity in our life or something like that. And you know, I have seen people that have been brought to consider their ways and make amends when maybe some of their family died or a storm struck or something like that happened. I don't know. I'm not going to rule it out. But let me share with you some thoughts. Nelson's Bible Dictionary defines the word chastisement as, quote, an infliction of punishment, as by whipping or beating. In the Bible, the term chastisement usually refers to punishment or discipline brought by God. So, that sounds like it might be more than just our guilty conscience. And then Webster's Modern Day Dictionary defines chastisement as, or chastening as, to correct by punishment or suffering, to discipline. And we look to the Old Testament and we see some things that God told the people of old. In 2 Samuel 7 and 13, David is talking to Samuel, or God rather, not Samuel, but Solomon. God is talking to David about Solomon. You know, David wanted to build the temple, and God told him he had too much blood on his hands, but he said, I'm going to let your son Solomon do it. And in 2 Samuel 7 and 13, he said, he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish his throne, or the throne of his kingdom, forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. You know how that Saul was cut off because he disobeyed God. But God says, I'm going to chasten Solomon if he gets out of line with the rod of men. And the only thing that I can figure out would be that he would let men give him a hard time or punish him for God. And in 1 Corinthians 11 and 29, Paul was addressing the problem here of Christians perverting the Lord's Supper and not discerning the Lord's body. It seemed that they just made a party or something out of it, if you read the context. But in verse 29, Paul said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. He went on to say, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Would that not be chastisement? Would that not be God's chastening? Because they had perverted the Lord's Supper, he said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But then verse 32, he said, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And I have discussed this with learned men, and there's a diversity of opinion over what he means about weak and sickly among you, and dead or asleep. Some people think that it's spiritually speaking, and many are weak and sickly among them. Some people think that it's physically. They came down sick. They got ill. Physically ill as chastisement because of what they were doing. But whatever it was, he said that God was going to correct them and chasten them so they wouldn't be condemned with the world. And in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. Verse 3 says, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So, scholars tell us that this should have been a four-day journey in the wilderness to the land of Canaan, but it took them, or a 40-day journey, I believe it is, a 40-day journey, but they took them 40 years to make it. And God said that he caused it to be that way to humble them and to prove them and to show them their dependence upon God. So I'm not going to say that God does not use physical things to chasten us when we get out of line. And in Revelation 2, in verse 20, he said, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." Now watch it. "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." So he's going to cause her to have a sickness, it seems. And those that are carried away after her error to have great troubles. So the chastening of the Lord is something serious. Paul said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So Paul told the Corinthians, if we'd examine ourselves, we could avoid the chastisement by heeding the word and doing what we ought. It seems that in times of old, people feared the chastening of the Lord. In Psalm 6, to the chief musician on Neganoth upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. That was instructions how to sing it. "O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." So it seemed that he had a healthy respect here for God's chastisement. You know, it could be rather severe. And in Psalm 38, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrow stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me so." So he had a healthy respect here for the chastening of the Lord. But you know, there's a way we can avoid chastisement of the Lord. Somebody said, "Well, maybe I've lived a rough life in my earlier days. And I just dread for the hand of the Lord to be brought against me." I've got good news for you. There's a way that you can escape the chastening of the Lord for those things that you may have done, those wild oats you may have sown and so forth. Sometimes we have to reap some consequences. But in Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, it was prophesied concerning Jesus. It was stated, like we talked about this morning, as past tense, but really it was in reference to future tense. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Remember when Jesus was whipped? Remember when he was scourged? Remember when he was punished in all sorts of ways? You know what? That was a chastisement that I should have received and that you should have received. And Jesus took it and bore it so that we wouldn't have to. Aren't you thankful for that? But if we don't appropriate it, then we'll have to bear it. There's one here this evening. You need to appropriate the forgiveness of God. If you've not ever become a Christian, you need to place your faith and your trust in Christ and in the fact that He did bear your sins on that night. You need to repent of your sin, confess that faith, and be buried with the Lord in baptism to put Him on. If as a child of God you wandered away and you might say, well, I've done things that would deserve correction and chastisement, you need to come back. Repent and we'll pray with you and for you. And the Lord will forgive. There's one subject. Won't you come while we stand, while we sing?
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left, are you ready for the day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for the day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Judgment day. Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
You may be seated. Is there anyone here who didn't get a chance to take the Lord's Supper this morning? No. You would turn with me to number 54. Number 5-4. Sing the first and last verse of number 54, and then we'll ask Brother Walker to send us home in prayer.
God be with you till we meet again. By His counsel, guide, uphold.